Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Horford gets Curry on the switch. Shot clock at 7. Buddy Hield bombs away a 3. Got it! Buddy Buckets makes it a 7-point game!
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Jones Jr. working against Beard. Back to Austin, Medlock, harassing hit. Off the screen, McKinnon lobs it to Oakman for the throwdown. Woo! The Pilots more organized here in the second half.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Horford gets Curry on the switch. Shot clock at 7. Buddy Hield bombs away a 3. Got it! Buddy Buckets makes it a 7-point game.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. No Kalkbrenner?
What is happening?
He was 20 of 22. He had 49 points.
What are we doing? How do we not have a Creighton highlight in the open? How dare you sleep on the Blue Jays? What's
even
the matter
that
with you?
Last night?
I did know that happened last night.
The big man.
I love that we're back to that time of year. We're going to get swag highlights in the open, man. It's a good reminder of how good of a play-by-play guy he is.
I had to do a double take. I thought he just repurposed the first Warrior highlight in the open and made it the last highlight.
You just double dip on the Warriors. Nice little game last night in Boston. Big win for them. Might as well double dip in the open.
No, that was supposed to be I don't know what happened there. That was supposed to be the Peyton Watson block.
Yeah, so it was. You did the same highlight twice in the open.
I got it all up.
I heard
right
that. I'm
here.
Like, I swear to God, I just heard this 10 seconds ago.
No, listeners, that was supposed to be the Peyton Watson block to hand the Thunder their first loss.
Listeners are saying swag already early in the year, giving us a little bit of a...
To the roof, Daddy!
Look at this, look at that.
You got a lot of camera time on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, being over, right man. There, right there next to the bench, and Shante is all sorts of up and excited.
He's an animated coach.
Yeah. Yes, yes. He's into games, so you'll see me bobbing and weaving, trying to see what's going on.
Fist pumping after a big dunk.
Well, I think they also showed him a lot because it looked like he was the only person there watching the game.
Not many people there in attendance for the opener last night.
I was a little concerned about 15 minutes beforehand, but they were all... I think they were all...
Count them. I did not go over to the ESPN Plus last night.
They were
night.
All
I did not.
Up in the pilot club.
You know
club.
The section...
Up in the club.
Familiar with the Child Center, the section behind the hoops?
Yes.
Yeah.
Those were folded in.
we're going to go ahead and not fold these seats down.
Got the side area.
Lewis and Clark's in town.
The track above.
What are they, by the way? Do they have a new name yet, Lewis and Clark?
Or no,
are
they still the Pioneers.
Still the Pioneers, but they're changing. They're no longer
going to
be the Pioneers.
Can we call them the Pios? Just don't say Pioneers.
Just go Pios, yeah. Lewis and Clark Pios, it works for me. But I know that they're changing their name.
They're
I wasn't
going
sure
to be
if we
changing
had
it. I don't think they're there
an
yet.
Official name change
no.
yet.
Are there were actually more people there than
dumb.
I thought last night.
Make up a random bird. Let's be that.
The Lewis and Clark Lynx.
The Oregon Hawks. What? That's not a thing. I don't
the
think that's
Bobcats.
A bird. Yeah, it's not a thing. You did text it at halftime of that game. I had forgotten that it was going on, although I did sports very hard last night. I had forgotten that game was taking place, and you sent a little graphic of the halftime score.
They were losing.
Lewis and Clark in Portland.
They were down 9 in the first half.
Then it's like, I'm gonna have to check the score here in the second half. Let's keep an eye on this bad boy. Good on the Pilots for waking up and,
a lot of
and getting a big win.
A lot of freshmen.
Yeah, a lot of youngsters. I will tell you, though, when I was watching
the second
half.
Don't sleep on Lewis and Clark, man. I almost went to Lewis and Clark. That's an academically and athletically prowess school.
Swag left here and went, we look like a college basketball team, finally. I'll tell you, on my ESPN Plus app.
Yeah, what's the scouting report from Brandon Sprague on the Pilots from game one? Give me the breakdown. Weaknesses, strengths, what did we see?
They had some moments where they didn't look much bigger than Lewis and Clark.
Look a little bit small out there.
But for the most part, they got a big, they got some shooters.
Okay.
You know, they could space the floor a little bit.
All right.
Very inexperienced, very raw.
Okay, that's a good scouting report.
Away. Yeah, very
a
raw.
A sleeper in the WCC, is that what you're telling me?
No,
we're not sleeping on the Pilots this year?
No.
How do you feel about your Beavs matchup against the Pilots? Because that is on the horizon. And my Ducks got to play them. When is that game? Next week?
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday?
Yeah. Let me get back to you on that. I need to see a second game from...
not enough from the Utah Valley opener? You need to see one more performance? Or was it Utah A&M? Who did you play?
It was Utah Tech.
Utah Tech. Thank you. Okay.
We were also losing or tied with them at halftime.
Second half team. So. You're a back nine player. No big deal.
I hadn't heard of Utah Tech.
I didn't know that was a college.
They used to be Dixie something.
Dixie State.
Dixie State. Thank you.
Dixie State in Utah?
Yes.
Was the name of the college.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's racist.
That makes sense.
That's why they're Utah Tech.
The Beavs host the Fighting Damian Lillards on Friday.
The Weber State. Weber State?
Wildcats.
I was going to say Bobcats. I knew they were a cat.
I wanted to say Warrior. Weber State Warriors.
Weber State Warriors. That actually rolls off the tongue a lot better.
Yeah.
Talk about changing your name. You should be the Weber State Warriors.
Yeah. Ducks get the Montana Grizzlies.
Oh, Montana. Tyson Alger, bend over. All right, get out of here. You don't stand a chance, buddy. Bring on the Grizz.
Wow.
You're in for a world of pain.
That was aggressive. Poll question. Oregon versus Montana. Tyson Alger.
Does he need to bend over in that game? When is that game happening?
7 o'clock. They're both at 7.
Okay, 7 o'clock tonight.
So you need the plus for the Beavs and the Big Ten Network.
Well, I got the Big Ten Network.
Does primetime get railroaded half hour early?
Yes.
It's that time of year, baby.
6:30.
Hoop season, man.
Joey Mac lays it all out for you.
Let's get out of here. All right, time to go home. 30-minute club. Our show's over.
I got to admit to you, man. I know you worked late. I closed that app. I was doing dishes watching that game. That game ended close to 9 o'clock. So I know you're working late. Right. You're tired.
Half
I get it.
Half-hour post-game show.
Yeah.
Got to wrap it up.
Why is it a half hour?
You got to recap the whole thing,
got
man.
Got sponsors.
Come on, okay, get all the home.
Here's the situation. Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed. Kalkbrenner, I don't know, will ever have another game like that in his life.
I don't know.
49 points?
That was pretty remarkable.
Yeah. 20 of 22 from the field.
49 points in college is almost, that's almost unheard of, I feel like.
Yes.
That's not a thing. Like, in the NBA, somebody goes for 49, you're like,
Ja Morant
college,
have
totally
a
50-pointer
at Marquette?
He might have. I mean, I'm sure Jimmer did. I mean, you've had guys go
for
that.
Ja played at Marquette. Ja played at
Murray State.
Oh, Murray State.
He's a Murray State racer.
Who am I thinking of at Marquette?
Dwayne Wade?
No.
Marquette's Wes Matthews.
Yes.
No, not Wes.
They've had a lot of good players over the years.
Marquette, underrated program.
Very underrated
program. I've always liked Marquette.
One of those random schools. I always have that where it's like uniforms or players or guys you grow up and you're like, immediately you're attracted to, like, this was me when I was a kid with Cincinnati. I loved Cincinnati basketball when I was a kid. And Kenya Martin and the uniforms that they had with like the little stripes or whatever down the side of the shorts. Oh, those are the cooler. I always wanted a pair of Cincinnati basketball shorts.
I always was fond of the yellow Marquette jersey with the checkered colored collar.
The checkered is such an underutilized thing in uniforms.
I think Al McGuire started that back in the 70s.
Is that when it started
when
in the 70s?
They won a national title.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
It's a good look, man. When you get a good looking short, I actually, we didn't have a takeaway on the Oregon basketball court the other night. It was better than I thought it would be. Now, I didn't watch the game because I don't have Big Ten Plus, but I saw the highlights of the game. Yeah. So,
I'm going to watch.
Check it out tonight.
Obviously, I'm watching Friday. I got a scout.
You gotta keep an eye on those Ducks. That game's coming up next week, man.
It's over.
But I remember when they released the renderings, everybody made fun of them because the birds on the court are like geese. They don't actually look like ducks. That was like one of the things.
Like
people,
the wings are huge.
Yeah, like the wings look more like a geese wing than they do a duck wing, which, you know, not ideal because you're the Ducks, not the geese. It was not perfect. Much more pleasant to watch the highlights. I'll say that much. How about that?
I need to figure out where our drops are.
You looking for your goose call?
I was going to play the goose call. I don't know where it is.
It's right here.
Where is it?
One more page to the left.
God damn it.
I know. I'm getting better. I'm starting to figure it out slowly but surely where they all are. We got a lot of drops in here.
Can I ask you, Swigard, how many play-by-play guys in America for a college basketball team would you say do what you call scouting? They make themselves watch
the game of the next team? Versus just look at the box score, the result, and say,
I would say more than most. I would
more than 50%.
I would say professionals do it. The ones who take their job seriously probably.
For me,
that.
There's two things. One is, looking at what they do and what they run. But for me, especially early in the season, with all of the roster turnover, with portal and stuff, it's just being able to look at numbers and players and know the names.
Yeah, right off the top of your head.
And it's more just the visual recognition, so I don't have to look down at
number
my
21
chart.
Is boom. Yes. Number 17 is boom. Now I know that, yeah.
You know, the other thing, too, about college basketball that I remember as a kid and a teenager when I watched a lot of it, and I watched some of that Rutgers game yesterday. There was no Ace Bailey. He got hurt.
That was a big bummer, man. I turned it on like 6 minutes in. I'm waiting for him to come in, and then they show him on the sideline in street clothes. Like, this sucks. I was excited to watch him. Harper kid looked like a stud, though.
Harper's physically looks the part.
Yeah.
You can tell he's going to go high. You knew Bailey was out because I'd be shocked if Bailey's not starting for them.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, he's not on immediately. You're like, okay, well, this.
Why isn't he on the floor? Something going on here.
It's a tough product to watch. I watched it, but it can be a tough product to watch. But what I remember about college basketball is how many programs I liked for just, I don't know, very random reasons. Like, Marquette was this for me. Another one was Seton Hall.
Seton Hall. How do you not like Seton Hall?
I remember in high school, I looked into Seton Hall. I'm like, what if I went to Seton Hall?
The Pirates?
Had a couple good years.
Yeah, the Pirates go out to the East Coast, be a big, or were they still in the Big East or are they American Athletic Conference now?
No, I think they're back in the Big East.
Still back in the Big East.
I always wanted to go to St. John's. In fact,
St. John's would have been a cool school to go to.
My first year at Oregon State, me and a buddy who also loved basketball, we legitimately spent half of a day at our library at Oregon State looking at exchange programs to see if anybody at Seton Hall wanted to go to Oregon State, and we would go to Seton Hall for a semester.
Yeah, it's like a study abroad thing, but you do it at a different university
for
a term.
You could swap universities for a semester. We'd go live in, where are they, the Queens?
Yeah, I think it's in Queens.
In Queens,
it's in
right?
New York. That would have been awesome to go to Queens
play
for a couple
Gattons.
Of months. Yeah, go watch your team play a couple times.
I always loved the St. John Johnny's.
Now I'm trying to think.
Well,
they used to be the Red Storm, right?
Yes.
They're the Red Storm now.
I'm assuming they were a Native American.
Yes. Were they the Red?
Yeah. They were the Red Men.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
That's like Syracuse.
Can't
I didn't really
that
understand that was offensive at a younger age.
Yeah, no, Orange Men. You can't do that one anymore.
I didn't think about it
orange.
That way. You know?
They just have a big orange as their mascot, and the color orange is that's their mascot. It's just a color now, okay? That's what we're going
to
do.
Syracuse, another program I wanted to go to.
Yeah, the college basketball, I feel like, has that where, because of the tournament and the way you could have access to so many different teams around the country, we all watch the tournament every year. You get excited and you could be glued to the first opening couple of days. You would see schools you didn't really think of. It really had an impact as a sports fan more so than any other sport. Like NBA teams you knew, college football, I don't remember watching a lot of like random bowl games when I was a kid. So you'd watch big games, you'd watch the local schools, national championships, that kind of stuff. But for the most part, it was always the same teams. And that's like a random Virginia Tech would get there with Michael Vick. All
I
the teams
Virginia Tech.
Were always the same. But college basketball was so unique because you'd watch everybody. And you'd see teams from all over the country and you kind of fall in love and have your random fandoms that would grow.
I have a political question to ask you before we get going here.
Oh, boy. Lovely. That sounds great.
Are you serious?
Has anybody looked into or studied yet? Is it probably too early, but has anybody looked into the fact that Taylor Swift may have lost the election for Kamala Harris?
Did it backfire? Taylor Swift doesn't have any power? Is that what you're telling
me? Think about this. How many football fans like you despised the fact that she was shown and shoved down our throats during games, right?
Yeah, it drives me nuts.
Now think about
happened again
this.
On Monday night.
How many more Chiefs fans have had to endure that but say, it's our tight end's girlfriend, and this was their first moment to say, no, F you.
Screw you, Taylor
Swift. Who'd you endorse?
Swift.
I'm going against you.
Screw you.
Are you looking into that?
I don't know. I don't know if I don't know if that study has been done yet.
I think the celebrity endorsement is now officially a backfire. You don't want it anymore.
I mean, I would argue, who really cares who celebrities endorse? Why should that dictate who you vote for? That would have been my argument in the first place, but I digress.
MSNBC did interviews I saw, and they interviewed like college kids who basically said, I voted for Trump because Rogan told me to.
Yeah, that's a real
thing. I know
thing.
Adults that did this.
Yes. That's a powerful thing where you got 50 million people almost in the palm of your hand
really
on every episode.
Your money's worth there for those educations.
That's right. That's what we're paying the big bucks for,
going
baby.
Going to lectures, learning to think for yourself.
You know, it is funny, though. You say
Rogan
that, though,
Rogan.
Like, oh, who cares if celebrities vote for? And we always say that about Democrats. We don't ever say that on the right.
It is interesting.
Clearly, Joe Rogan influenced a lot of people.
He absolutely did, man. Everybody thought Taylor Swift would have a big impact. And Beyonce, I thought Swifties in the Beehive were a big deal, but evidently not.
Hey, Beyonce, you show up, sing a song.
Yeah, do a concert.
Nobody cares.
Give me a performance or something.
You gotta sing a song.
I don't care about your political speech. If I'm gonna see Beyonce, I wanna see her, I'm a single ladies.
You just made a country album. Yeah. Sing one of those songs.
Do one of those. Put your cowboy hat on. Yeah. Walk around in some boots. Do what you did in the Calvin Klein commercial. How about that?
Holy crap.
Yeah,
underrated
buddy.
Commercial, that thing.
Buddy. Num, num, num,
num, that num, guy num, in that laundromat?
Yeah.
He wouldn't have just been like glancing and like, oh, no big deal.
How do you get that role on that commercial? Can I get that role? How much did that guy get paid?
I got a truth bomb for you. If she did that in front of me in a laundromat, I'd have to leave.
I'm out.
I'd get arrested. I'd have to leave, man.
I'm gonna get out of here.
There's a weirdo in the corner of this laundromat. We don't know what he's doing. He's losing it. We don't know if he's on drugs.
Making weird sounds over there in the corner, man. It's really uncomfortable.
We got a good show today. There is a lot to discuss. Joe Freeman's going to be our ticker stop today at 8:15. These local people, you can't get them to wake up at 7:30.
No, I don't blame him. He was down in Eugene yesterday. I heard him at the Lanning presser, so he's covering both schools. We'll talk to Joe.
Yeah, they've put him on the Oregon beat. And I don't want to say why publicly, but I think you figure it out.
Is there anybody left covering Oregon State there? Don't think so.
Just Dashiell.
Yeah, oh, touche. Dashiell's there. Touche.
I think of the guy in Titanic. Anybody alive out there? Yes. Can anyone hear me?
Hello.
We played two this weekend. We'll ask Joe Freeman an Oregon State question, but he's going to join us at 8:15 today. It is a loaded show. Dirt and Sprague, good to be with you. Let's get it going on the fan.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I love that we have a rivalry in the NBA. The Grizzlies are still pissed at the Lakers for getting bumped as a 2 seed in the first round. That's still a thing for them.
Still a thing. Still very angry about it. And boy, oh boy, did they make it known last night.
Yeah.
Never
forget. I mean, we do that as Blazer fans to a certain point. We'll play a team like one time in the playoffs. That's a rivalry for us. Like, I don't know if we've ever beat them, but all right, I guess we can call it a rivalry.
Well, we do that. The players don't always do that.
That is true. The players buy into it.
The Grizzlies were pissed last night. John Morant basically said, I don't like them. He pushed LeBron, got a technical for it. It was a nice little entertaining game. They didn't have Anthony Davis. LeBron had a nice night, 39 points, 6 assists, 7 boards. John Morant gave in 20. Excuse you. Zach Edey had 8 and 7, and Jaren Jackson had 20.
How's Zach Edey doing as a rookie? What's the takeaway from him a week into the NBA season?
I would actually argue, I can't answer that. I'll check his stats in a second. Would argue he's not the rookie to be asking about in Memphis.
Oh, who is?
Jalen Wells is starting from Washington State.
Ooh.
He put in 20 points last night.
Yeah, he had 20 last night. Let's see what Edie's stat. He had 8 points last night. He's averaging 10 and 6. That's not terrible.
10 and 6 is a rookie when he's not going to be asked to do a whole lot offensively.
Playing 20, he can play more minutes than Donovan Clangen. You're telling me he's in better shape? He's getting 19 minutes a game. What are we doing here?
He's average. He played 15 last night.
What are we doing here? Come on, give him a nice night. There was an article that came out a week or two ago. I had in my notes, never got to it, but this is one of the craziest starts for a rookie class ever in terms of like production and minutes and all that, and just how low the production has been. I think at one, this was, you know, a week into the season or whatever, there wasn't a single rookie at that time that was averaging more than like 17 minutes per game. They were all very limited in their playing time, very limited in their production. Not that that's a surprise because it was a bad draft class, but it was an eye opener of like, oh yeah, none of those guys are having a huge impact early.
Yeah, we were largely told that draft class was going to be role guys, right?
Yes.
Like valuable role guys at best. You may get a couple franchise guys that pop. We certainly hope that our center and our pick at 7 is that. Risa Shea had 33 last night.
He went for 33 last night.
Youngest player to have 30-plus points, I think, in Hawks history.
Look at that. Are we doing a little miniature Dos Minutos right now? You know, are you doing Dos Minutos and me?
The hardwood was harding. Hardwooding. Wooding hard?
Yeah, I did not watch that game. I can tell you that much, but that's cool that he had 33 points. I did watch the Golden State-Boston game, though.
That was a good game.
That was an awesome game last night. Watching the whole Kerr getting booed, the Tatum thing from the Olympics, like, he had that lingering into it.
Curry got cheered.
Yeah, which is weird, because he ripped their heart out in the finals. What was that, 3 years ago when they won that finals?
He stole a title from them.
Yes, the way that he played at the end of that series when it looked like Boston was going to win, and then their stars disappeared and Curry took over.
Yeah.
I didn't quite understand that. The booing of the whole Olympic Tatum thing is just hilarious to me, that that's still lingering for people of, like, you realize there's a lot
of
talented
Kerr
players.
I love that Kerr plays into it, too.
He does. Yeah, he had a quote before the game. He was like, I'm sure they'll cheer me, right, as a world champion who brought home a gold medal to my country. I'm sure they'll cheer for me.
He waved to the crowd when they booed him in introduction.
Hey, thank you, Boston. Thank you.
If I was a coach, I'd be doing the same thing as Steve Kerr there. I would play into it. I'd have fun with it.
Guy's got multiple rings, a gold medal. He's doing just fine. He had a funny line, too. He was like, as a player, nobody ever booed me because nobody cared enough about me as a player to boo me, so I never had to experience that.
Well, maybe Utah.
Maybe Utah. A role guy just kind of showing up and knocking down a three every now and then. But that was one, when you get kind of a highly billed matchup early in the season, Celtics have been great, Warriors have been great, Buddy Hield's been awesome for them. That was a really fun game to watch.
I thought it was, it kind of summed up the game. The game was entertaining. And by the way, now that they've lost J.J. Redick, I don't know if he has been made full-time. I may have missed the media announcement on this. Jay Billis is going to call NBA games this year, because I'm happy with that.
I had the same thought last night. That was my first time watching an ESPN broadcast, and I don't know if he's called others or...
He has. That's the second time I heard him, but I thought the first was maybe an exception because it's opening night, and then I heard that last night and went, oh
maybe
my God.
Maybe he is.
Is he with Breen and Doris all year?
I thought they gave Legler that job too. Didn't Legs get that?
Legs is going to be more there. Richard Jefferson's going to do more games.
Did you guys see, though, if Billis was announced as the...
I don't remember that being a thing.
I don't remember that. Now, I know every year they did a reversal, so they had their college guys, because Walton would call, I think with Billis, they would call a NBA game, and then the college guys would...
Or the NBA guys would call a college game.
I don't think that's what this was. But this is the second time I've heard him on the broadcast.
I'll have to... Let me check the ESPN.
Well, I had forgotten, too, because I kept it on ESPN for... I didn't watch the entire Clippers 76er game, but I had it on my TV.
It was on too late.
It just was too late. I think I went to bed at halftime or something like that, but I had totally forgotten about Van Gundy being on the Clippers staff, too. And then I was like, that's right, he got fired by ESPN. And I know, and then it dawned on me that he wasn't on the call for any of the finals last year, but it was funny seeing him on the bench, getting up and down, yelling at guys. That's right, he's back into coaching.
The Warriors held the Celtics, if you didn't watch this, they held the Celtics to 40 points at the half. The Celtics scored 41 in the third.
In the third quarter. They scored more points in the third quarter than they had the entire first half. Just so they had 16 points in the second quarter. With that much talent, that's a wild stat line.
Can I ask you guys this, in the all-too-early conversation of the NBA, and I've noted that I don't like this, but also I'm conditioned to just kind of naturally ask these questions.
It's fun to overreact early in the year. Let it fly.
What is Miami? Have you been noticing? I don't know if you followed any Miami dealings so far, but it's interesting. Bam was like 5 of 21 last night.
Not good.
Now, they lost a close game against Phoenix. Jimmy Butler hates being there, doesn't want to be there. He's not getting his contract. That team, look, Portland's not in a good spot, okay? We can laugh all we want. Like, oh, look at them. They've been a much better franchise than us.
They've been to multiple championships and won multiple championships in the last 15 years.
But watching them just be very mid and just have all of these off-court / on-court issues, I am enjoying it.
Well, the funny thing about them was, even going back, I feel like almost them making the finals, what was that, 2 years ago when they made it against Denver as the 8 seed? I think that was 2 years ago. It was almost a bad thing that it happened, because it gave them fool's gold. It made them think that this is a nucleus and a group that can win at the highest level, when I think all of us would look at that and say, well, Giannis went down in the first round. If he's healthy, you probably lose in the first round. And then you found your way back. You almost blew a 3-0 lead to Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then you got steamrolled in the NBA Finals. Like, you're clearly, there are levels to this. It was almost like when Portland made the Western Conference Finals. Like, that was a great magical run for everybody in this city. But once you got there and you played a big dog, what happened? And Golden State didn't even have two of their best players in that series. We got swept. You're like, oh, okay, that's a good reminder. reminder that we're really not that close to competing at the highest level of the NBA, and there's still a massive gap that exists. I feel like they almost needed to learn that lesson 2 years ago, that they're not there. They're not good enough to compete at the highest level in the league, and yet it allowed them to kind of double down on their roster, keep everybody intact, and think that something will change. But last year, they were essentially the same team as the year before. They're going to have to blow that thing up eventually. You got to build around Tyler Hero. Like, Jimmy Butler's going to be gone eventually. They're going to Miami long term.
They should trade Jimmy this year. He's a free agent.
They absolutely should. They're below 500. I almost feel like that thing will blow up. Miami will always be fine because they're Miami and they'll land free agents, and that's the way that the world works. I almost feel like the story of that game, and something that I haven't paid a lot of attention to early in the year, is the other side of that.
Budenholzer.
All of a sudden, Phoenix is like really good in crunch time, and they're 7-1, and you know, I don't. We made fun of them when they got swept in the playoffs last year because it's always funny to see Kevin Durant get swept in the playoffs. And again, 8 games in, but that's a phenomenal start for Phoenix, for a team that I didn't have very high expectations for this year.
The Nuggets gave Oklahoma City their first loss of the year, and Nikola Jokic, in case you haven't followed, reminded you that, hey, on any given night, I can go for 20-20-16.
Very good at basketball. I'd forgotten about that.
Good Lord.
I think he's like number one in points, number two in rebounds, number three in assists. It was some crazy.
Points,
like
20 rebounds, 16 assists.
Is that good? I think that's pretty good.
That's not bad.
Not bad.
And they only won by 2. Yeah. And Russell Westbrook was 3-4 from 3 and 10-15 from the field, and they only won by 2 points. It was a Peyton Watson block at the end on SGA.
One of those reminders, if you're a Thunder fan, of like, okay, it took 20-20-20 and a once in a blue moon night from Russell Westbrook to beat us by 2. I think we're going to be okay.
I think you feel good about that
situation.
I think
we'll be all right, but I just hope that we get to a point in the conference finals or second round or whatever. That would be a very fun playoff series between OKC and Denver.
They didn't stop booing Paul George in LA last night.
No, they didn't.
And I kind of laughed and I said, your team shorted him. He wanted to be here.
He's a free agent.
Also, what are you booing? I mean, it's a disappointing run, but like not very memorable enough for me to want to boo either.
No.
You know, it's just like, you didn't do much for us.
I mean, I'd be pretty hurt just because it likely will end up going down as one of the worst trades in NBA history.
Ooh. It's certainly
it's in the ballpark.
It's in the conversation.
In the infield, is that what you're
talking about? I'd have to think about the trades of the all-time bad trades in NBA history to give up what they gave up.
I mean, the Boston-Brooklyn trade back in the day is definitely in that mix with Pierce and KG.
I could be wrong on this, but I believe the stat is they don't own their draft capital in the first round for like the next 7 years.
Holy hell.
Maybe 6.
6 more years?
Maybe it's 4. There's a sizable amount of years here where they still don't own what they do.
Dude, that is insane.
Go back and look at the trade.
I mean,
they were giving out like 2029s and 2030s and swap picks in 28.
All right, so here we go. 2025, so for next year's NBA draft, OKC holds their first round pick.
So if they get the first pick in the draft, OKC can flip and get the first pick.
They can. 2026, it's OKC or Philly.
Yep.
So the more favorable the pick, I think, goes to Oklahoma City.
So there's 2 drafts.
So there's 2. 2027 is Oklahoma City.
Yep.
2028 is Philly. 2029 is Philly. Pick swap.
There's 5.
Yeah, pick swap.
That's 5 drafts.
So it goes on. That's just, they don't own their next first round pick until 2030.
5 more years.
That is insanity.
And he's not even on the team. And some of those picks you mentioned are on the team he's on.
They are.
It's probably the worst trade of all time.
Holy hell. I knew
it
was bad.
Get you a championship.
And I knew the Harden one was bad too, but dear Lord, man, that's bad.
Little action going on in the NBA.
I watched last night. I was tuned in.
I did too.
Basketball dirt showed up. Watched a little college hoops. Watched a little NBA. It was a good night.
We got it tonight too. The Blazers are back.
What time do we play?
5.
5 o'clock? Perfect.
It's on KTU.
Thank God.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. So I can watch it on my iPad and I don't have to have it on the big screen.
Samesies, man.
I'm not big screening these games during a Thursday night football game.
I'm too lazy to move my antenna, so it's only on one TV, and I'm like, I got to be in here.
I got to go sit in this room.
Right. Let's get to the Dirty Poll. We had the college football playoff ranking. It's Thursday. It's 6:30. It's Dirty Poll time next on The Fan. Ready for that. Two soldiers headed. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here with you on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube. We've got a lot of football to get to.
Football stuff.
I had the biggest football stuff to get to at the top of the hour.
Oh, I'm excited.
Are you excited?
I love good football stuff.
I do too.
We're in the heat of the season, man. This is it.
We got our college football playoff rankings on Tuesday, so we talked about that on yesterday's show. Josh Pate saying, I wouldn't want to be anybody other than Oregon in college football. We got the Dan Lanning Gladiator locker room bits tweeted out yesterday.
Are you not entertained?
Put your thumbs down.
That's right. Look, take a look around. Everybody's leaving.
I will give him a lot of credit. I think a lot of coaches do this. They just don't get the attention that Lanning and Oregon have generated this year for themselves. Coming up with week-by-week themes is an underrated thing that I've always admired.
Yeah, and also to have your team buy into it every week. Because I think there's the fear eventually that you just, it's the same message over and over again, and eventually your guys will come out flat. And
but think about how unique they are. So I thought about the Ohio State one, and I thought it was a good one. Jab, jab. You can get in that moment, and you can think, we got to knock them out early. And if it doesn't go well, it's like, oh, we can't knock them out.
Yeah, why haven't we separated at the end of the first quarter?
Yes, just keep jabbing, you'll win. Go to Michigan. Not a good team, but hostile environment, 110,000 people.
Largest crowd an Oregon football team has ever played in front of.
The Gladiators dictate everything, not the I think
the
it's
Warriors
almost a
dictate
theme.
The atmosphere.
That's what it was.
The man in the arena.
And so I think it's like, I hear you. It can be kind of just the same thing, but in a way, he makes it so different that it can get through pretty good.
Well, and the biggest sign of it working is that his team buys into it every week. And you had the entire team. Everybody was watching the game on Saturday thinking, why are they thumbs downing everything? Like, nobody knew. Yeah.
I thought it was a Jabbar Muhammad
That's what people
thing,
thought. They're like, everybody loves Jabbar in the locker room, and so they're just doing it to support Jabbar Muhammad. That's what everybody thought. Yeah. And then you get this, their trailer
the other
drops
thing
or whatever,
is,
and that's what it is.
It makes it fun.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. I think it makes it fun for the coaches, too.
Coaches,
it's like,
everybody,
think of good
it just
ideas.
Makes it fun. This time of the year, everybody's dinged up to some extent. It's getting cold and dark.
They haven't had a bye week since after the Civil War, I think, was their last bye week. So they're going on a long streak. They got two more games, and then they get a bye week before Washington.
It's hard to practice in week 11.
It's a grind. Yeah, now it's cold. It's raining every day. I know they go indoors sometimes, but sometimes you got to be outdoors.
Maryland on paper doesn't do anything to get you riled up.
No.
And tortoise in the hair, right? What happened to the hair? You think you're going to win and run away,
That would be a great speech. I can't wait. What if that ends up being it? We'll have to go back and clip that. See, like, called it on Thursday. That's what it was.
Always be wary of the tortoise. Right, sneaking up on you. Here they come.
He would hate my impersonation of him, but I love doing a good Dan Lanning.
Well, you got to drop like 13 rights. You got to give the rights. Right. You got to go there.
Dillingham drops a lot of rights. Dillingham, he wore off on Dillingham pretty quickly for that 1 year.
He just, that's the way coaches, when you work around a guy, you just,
end up sounding like that guy.
I think it's natural to be around people and, you know, get a little bit of something from them to a certain extent. Let's get to the dirty poll because we're going to react to the dirty poll. The top 12 in college football was released.
It's a challenging week right now. Challenging week.
Not a good weekend for the dirty poll.
Well, hey.
Clemson's been at number 3. I've been questioning this. You claim that this was the move. They're better, and they lost at home to Louisville.
I'd like to point out that Clemson is still alive in the ACC championship game. They might still be my fourth seed for all you know. Why don't you stick that in your pipe and smoke it, all right? Here's the issue. This is a projection forward to where I think the end of the season will be, okay?
So people need to remember
not
that.
Not where we're at right now, because you're going to hear teams in there, and you might be like, hey, what the hell? What's going on? It's a projection to where I think they're going to be at the end of the year. We'll start the first four. There is obviously changes. Iowa State was, in my opinion, the most complete team in the Big 12. They might still win the Big 12 title, but for now, that has to go to BYU. And then Miami has been slotted into the ACC. Miami has the best offense in the conference. I think their defense is horrendous, but they will be the 3 and 4 seed. So your top four: Oregon, Georgia, unchanged 1 and 2, Miami, and BYU. Those are your top four seeds getting first round byes in the Dirty Poll College Football Playoff.
Look at undefeated BYU finally breaking through.
Undefeated BYU is finally in there. Big 12 race is fascinating to close out the year because there is a spot on the line. Somebody's going to get it. I don't know if they're going to get two teams in as a conference. And you got a whole bunch of teams that are alive, depending on what happens this weekend. It's going to be a really fun weekend for the Big 12. We go 5 through 12. Ohio State back at number 5. They got their first marquee win of the season, went on the road. I don't think that much of Penn State, but you got to give them credit. Tough place to go play. They were down 10-0 early, dug out of the hole. They're number 5. They will be taking on still number 12 in the Dirty Poll as you're at large from the group of 5, and that is Boise State, having a chance to potentially creep their way into the top 4, but right now they remain at number 12. Your 6-11 matchup is going to be out of the SEC.
So very quickly, your 1-4 exactly the same as the committees, and your 5-12 matchup exactly the same.
Yes.
Well, Ohio
well, not
State.
It's based on where they would be for
based
the,
on the rankings of the
bracket. What the bracket would look like. Yes, and that's what I'm doing. So yes, it is. Ohio State number 5. I said that. Boise State 12. 6-11. Texas is at number 6. Interesting game for them this weekend. Nobody's really talking about it. They play Florida at 9 a.m. It's a big weekend for the SEC. Florida's playing better football.
Lagway might be back for
this. It sounds like he's going to play. So he's been in practice all week. That was the fear that he was done for the year. They had a puncher's chance to beat Georgia last week. If he finishes that game, that's one that we're all going to kind of forget about. It'll be on early in the morning on Saturday. Just circle it. Keep an eye on it. Texas, just interested to see how that game goes. They're 6. Number 11. Now, this is where it gets into predicting. Last week, I told you I didn't have A&M in the playoff because I thought they were going to lose to South Carolina, and they lost to South Carolina. I think this team's going to win this weekend. It's going to piss a lot of people off, but it is going to bump them into the top 12. The number 11 team in the dirty pool is LSU. I think LSU is going to beat Alabama at home on Saturday night in Baton Rouge. I think they're the more complete team than Alabama. And despite what they showed in the second half against A&M, I actually trust them a little bit more in this matchup. And if they win that game, go look at the rest of their schedule. Very easily finishing 10-2. A 10-2 LSU team is in the college football playoff and potentially in an SEC title game, mind you, because one of their losses is a non-conference game. Your 7-10 matchup is Indiana versus Notre Dame. And last but not least, your 8-9 matchup is Tennessee versus Penn State.
Okay.
Tennessee's got a big one coming up next week, by the way.
Tennessee's 8?
Tennessee is 8, and Penn State is number 9.
Okay, there you go. There's the top 12 dirty poll. We'll tweet it out at Dirt and Sprague. I got a couple things I want to talk about with this.
We're going to do a dirty poll post-game show? Is that you're telling me?
A little bit dirty game post-game show. Yeah, we'll get to that coming up next on The Fan. Dirt tells me during the break that South Carolina is now currently working right now on an NIL situation to retain Dylan Stewart, their stud freshman pass rusher.
They're going to more than double his current deal, which potentially will exceed over $1 million.
I'm not trying to be hot take artist. I'm being serious here. If I was a Jeremiah Smith or Dylan Stewart, I would open this up every year of my 3 years in college. You're not going to let me go pro when I want to go pro. Jeremiah Smith could go pro tomorrow. He'd be the number one receiver taken in the NFL draft. We all know that. But he can't. So if I was these kids, I was a very close, trusted person, I would be opening this up every year.
Yeah, where's your checkbook at? Let's see what we can work out. I'd love to stay here, but I'm going to renegotiate every season.
Hey, Buckeyes, I'll stay here. Give me my blank amount of money that so-and-so is offering me right now, and I'll stay. Great. Yeah. Okay, here we go. We'll go again. Year two. I don't know why they wouldn't do that. I'd be financially beneficial for them to do it. I mean, you read articles all over America. And not necessarily in our industry, but in a lot of other industries, people make more money by jumping ship. It's why so many people jump companies so quickly. They make more money. So I don't know why a 5-star.
He's having a great season as a
South
outside
Carolina's
of the machine gun
line
thing.
Can wreck some.
They
teams,
can. They absolutely can.
So I would do this. I thought Gino Auriemma had a really good quote not too long ago, where he basically said what, you know, some other coaches and people have said is like, can we just stop the charade of calling this college student athlete athletics?
Right.
Can we just stop this?
I mean, it could be on the way soon if you get the House settlement agreed to. They've already started to work next year under the premise that they'll have about a $20 million salary cap that they'll have revenue sharing with players. Now, there's still a few more hurdles to get there, but that could very well be on the horizon at some point in the near future.
That landing impersonation wrecked my throat.
Rah!
I've had nothing but an itchy throat now for like 8 minutes. I almost choked going to break there.
You went down into the bowels, man. You can't do that. You got to be careful.
I went too, like, scratchy.
Yeah.
I made my throat too scratchy, and now it's scratchy. Damn it. I want to react to some dirty pool stuff here.
Yeah, what do we got? What's takeaway? How much of an idiot am I?
My takeaway is that you did what they did to the AP. You just stole their top, you know.
I mean, not really. LSU's not in there. I mean, the top 8 teams are hard to disagree with right now.
It is. I'm just giving you some grief.
Yeah, it's hard to go somewhere else. Because I don't think Indiana, I do think will lose to Ohio State still. I'll maintain that. But they're going to be a one-loss team. They'll be in the mix. Penn State shouldn't lose the rest of the way. It would be a shocking loss if they did.
Is Indiana set to lose this weekend and we're not talking enough about it?
Look, I would, you know, say this as a duck honk, so take it with a grain of salt. I was actually pretty impressed with what I saw from Michigan last week. I thought their offense looked as good as it is, their passing game at least, has looked as good as it's looked all year. I imagine Will Johnson will be back this weekend, although I haven't watched that closely because Oregon's not playing them. So if you get him back in the secondary, they do have a defensive line that has three guys that can change the flow of a game. Their issue is they've just got literally no help from their offense all season. And as long as they stop doing the Alex Orji trick play crap, like, that's not working. Everybody knows he's going to run it when he comes in. He had one successful run against Oregon. That was it.
You didn't think he had a couple that it was like he gained 4 to 5? Like, I mean, four to five yards are successful.
Yeah, sure. If you want to label that. Sense, yeah. He had one quote-unquote explosive run where he kept, was like a counter off the left tackle and he went down the sideline for 20-something yards. I thought Davis Warren played well enough to be in the entire game and to have a fourth down with your game on the line, and you don't have... He threw two great touchdown passes in that game.
He did. He threw some darts.
And they took him out with the biggest play of the game, needing to stay alive, and they threw a trick play back to their quarterback. Yeah. If they don't do that, I do think they have enough at the line of scrimmage to at least make it an interesting game.
I thought they had such bad coaching in certain spots, and I hated that play call. It's like he comes in, you know, it's either going to be a trick play or a run.
And that was in Oregon had their little recap video we're talking about with the Gladiator stuff. They knew they were screaming it. The second they knew you could hear Lapoy on the headset on the fourth down, they said, he's in the game, trick play, trick play, trick play.
Yeah.
And Mateo stayed home and they shut it down.
I did a poll question on this with the rankings that Dirt put out of the Dirty Poll. Which playoff ranking is better, the CFB committee or the Dirty Poll right now, very early on? The Dirty Poll is winning 60-40.
You're damn right it is. People know what they're doing out there.
The Athletic, on the college football playoff teams, The Athletic did a piece on this, on some of the teams involved here, and they talked about a couple teams. SMU's coach thought they got a lot of respect, says they feel like they have a path here. They feel very confident in their ability.
SMU's undefeated in the ACC.
They're having a nice run. They benched their quarterback a couple weeks ago. That it was a very good move. Obviously, they lost to BYU early in the year. And so going through this, Boise State, Dickert gave them a lot of praise. Dickert was basically like, I think they can dominate an offensive front, and if you can do that, you can win. I'd also counter, I love me some Jake Dickert. They pushed you around. I don't know which one of those other teams they could push around, but they pushed you around, so I don't blame you for having the thought.
Gentile will give them a chance to hang around against anybody.
Two teams of note that Power Four coaches anonymously quoted talking about. Tennessee. Quote, I think their defense is the best we faced in years, said a Power Four head coach. Their front seven's elite. They're really phenomenal on defense. Their back, Dylan Sampson's very good. The question is their young quarterback. Is he ready to win games against big-time opponents? Can he consistently get it done? They're going to need a little more from him. I'm curious to see how he handles playing at Georgia on November 16th.
Yeah, that game is looming next weekend. Tennessee at Georgia. Many people think Georgia will win that game just because that's a tough environment for a young quarterback to go into.
God, Georgia's got a tough one at Ole Miss this weekend.
They do. It's a really tough back-to-back for them. If they lose both those games, who knows? I'm not going to say out because it's the SEC and they play by different rules. But the point on Tennessee's defense is valid. I mean, the only defense that can hang with them statistically in the SEC is Texas, and I would argue... Maybe I'm wrong on this, but I think Tennessee's played a harder schedule to this point. Their defense will keep them in every game. It's just a question of, can they find something else from their offense? I tend to look at you this time of year, though. That's just kind of who you are. And it might be good enough to go on a run in the playoffs, but them finding like this second gear, like there's 4 weeks left in the regular season.
He might have a game. He could have a moment or a throw, like, change and become something it hasn't been.
They're going to have to win games by playing defense, running the football, and say, don't just manage the game, Nico, and we'll have a chance to beat anybody.
And I loved this one because I couldn't agree more. This is from a Power Four head coach on the number six team in the committee's playoff rankings. I think there's some brand love there. At least Texas is playing in the SEC. That's a Power Four head coach on Penn State.
Yeah. You know how we feel. We've talked about Penn State all week, man. You know how I feel.
What's their best win of the year? It's how the whole sport feels, man. It's not just a media hot take guy.
Them being ranked ahead of Indiana is just, it's laughable.
Everybody in the sport feels the same way about Penn State. And that's what's funny a little bit about the defense of a James Franklin. It's like, yeah, his record's good. How many patsies does he get wins against?
And this was the takeaway I had when Oregon joined the Big Ten, and I know it ruffled some feathers from Big Ten fans who listen to the show. Like, your conference isn't that good, man.
It's really not.
There are elite teams at the top. This year only, one outside of Oregon, and that's Ohio State. I would argue maybe Indiana is that. You've had Ohio State, Michigan the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. The middle to bottom of that conference is bad.
It's not good.
It's bad offensive football. Yeah, you got big offensive linemen. Congratulations. Like, Dude, I don't give you any nice 21-7 win over Illinois. That was really impressive. Remember when they were in a dogfight with UCLA in the second half and they only won that game 27-1? UCLA sucks. What USC, hey, that's a nice win.
They went 20-10, 20-6 or something at half against USC.
Dude, they came back and beat USC and was like, that's USC's below 500. They might not go to a bowl game. They get Washington this weekend. Washington can't win games on the road. They're terrible away from Seattle. But watch that game be a dogfight, man, because that's who Penn State is.
Very quick, we go to the second hour. Should Curtis Rorick be in this Heisman conversation? I know he missed two games, but should he be in the conversation?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Been very good for them.
Like if
he does something spectacular to lead Indiana to upset Ohio State,
like if he slangs it against Michigan and then they either lose a close game or beat Ohio State,
I think he has to beat Ohio State. But I think the question would be, if I give you the top four guys right now, being Hunter, JNT, Cam Ward, and Gabriel, probably
he doesn't jump any of them.
So maybe if you say there's five invited to New York, I'd be okay with
it. Should he be on the next two out?
I'm okay with that. 19 touchdowns, 3 picks. He's having a really good year.
Loaded second hour of the show. We kick it off with the biggest thing in football next on The Fan.